Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Jacobson. This is tape number 44 in the series, entitled Complacent Jews, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek Tosvav, the 15th chapter of the Tanya. That's page 40. Or Daf Chaf Amid Beis. In the previous chapters, the Alter Rebbe discussed the difference between the Tzaddik, the Beinoni, and the Rasha, elaborating specifically and particularly on the spiritual profile of the intermediate man, or if you will, the ordinary man, defined as the Beinoni. In light of what he has explained before about the spiritual characters of the Tzaddik, Beinoni, and Rasha respectively, he continues in this chapter to discuss some of the important characteristics and issues that characterize the ongoing life of the Beinoni. Ubaze yuvon, with what has been explained earlier, we will understand Mashakasuv, what it says in the Pasuk, in Malachi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yitches, and you will return and see the difference between the righteous man and the wicked man, between the tzaddik and the rasha, as well as between him who serves Hashem and him who serves him not. In Malachi, in the third chapter, Hashem discusses through the Navi the future times, specifically the time of Mashiach. And he discusses those several psukim earlier in Pasuk Yudalad. He says, Amartem, there are those of you who have said, Shav Avodah Elikim, it was worthless to engage in the service of Hashem. Uma Betza Kishamarnu Mishmartei, what did we gain by keeping His commandments and observing His wishes, His desires? V'chi Alachnu Kedeiranis Mipnei Hashem Tzvakais, and that we have blackened ourselves. We have embarked on a path which has blackened us, which has darkened us, just because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Was it all worth anything? So Hashem continues, and He says, several psukim later, Ushaftim Urisim, there will come the day when you shall see the difference between the Tzaddik and the Rasha, and the Eved Elikim, and the Ashalei Avad. So this is the HaChagiga. The Gemara in Masechta Chagiga, Daf Tes Amid Beis, asks the question that apparently this pasuk is repetitive. What is the difference between tzaddik and rasha and oved alekim and ashalei avade? Tzaddik is the righteous man, rasha is the wicked man, oved alekim is the one who serves Hashem, and lo yavade is the one who doesn't serve Hashem. So it could say, if shaftem is and ben tzaddik l'rasha is enough, or ben oved alekim l'ashalei avade. What is ben tzaddik l'rasha, and then again ben oved alekim l'ashalei avade? So the Gemara answers, Yad of Tasamid Beis, that Avadei v'loy Avadei travayu tzadiki gmurininu. The difference between he who serves Hashem and he who doesn't serve Hashem is totally not the same difference between, is not the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha. Avadei and loy Avadei are both complete tzaddikim. Even the man who we define as loy Avadei, who does not serve Hashem, can go into the definition of a complete tzaddik, tzaddiki gemurininu. So why is this one called an oved elikim and this one not an oved lo yavadei? So the Gemara goes on to explain that this is because a specific difference between these two individuals, albeit that they're both tzaddikim gemurim, which we shall see later in this chapter, and Tanya with Alter Rebbe discusses it. What we have out of this is that in this pasuk there are four distinctions. Four profiles, four personalities: a tzaddik, a rasha, an oved elikim, number three, and a loy avadei, number four. According to the Alter Rebbe, from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, the first two categories deal with a tzaddik, as defined in Tanya, what a tzaddik is. The second category, a rasha, as defined in Rasha, in Tanya, what a rasha is. And the latter two categories, avadei and loy avadei, are both describing the beinoni. Because as we have already seen in chapter 1, the Beinoni of Tanya, from a halachic perspective, is defined a tzaddik, because the Beinoni who does not even possess one Avera can be defined in halachic terms as a tzaddik, although according to the deeper, essential, mystical definition of the personalities that encompass the Jewish people, the Beinoni is called a Beinoni and not a tzaddik. So the Eved, the Lekim, and Loyavadei are both Beinonim, and in the Beinoni there are two levels. So what makes him Loyavadei? What makes him Loyavadei, you're asking? We'll see, the Alter Rebbe will discuss this in detail in this chapter. The Gemara says what makes him Loyavadei, as we shall soon see. We'll soon see. And first, he begins explaining the difference between the Eved Elikim and the Tzaddik. Sha'ahefresh ben Eved Elikim l'tzaddiku. The difference between him who serves Hashem, the Eved Elikim, and the Tzaddik is Sha'eved hu lashon hayva. The word Eved, him who serves Hashem, is written in the present tense. Ivy describes something that is occurring at the present moment. Shahu be'emtza ha'avayda. So Eved Elikim is describing a human being who is still presently laboring in his avayda, in his divine service. What is this referring to? Shehi ha'melchame ma'yetzahara. This service, presently occurring, consists of the struggle against one's evil nature, lis gabira love, with the aim of overpowering it, veligarshe me'iktana, and of banishing it from the small city. The small city, as we have seen in earlier chapters, is the metaphor for the body, which is like a city, whose conquest is the objective of both the good and the evil nature, and the struggle against the Yetzirah consists of attempting to banish it from overpowering it, overwhelming it, overwhelming and overpowering and mastering man's life and all of its limbs. Shalla yislabish beivari haguv, that although this nature exists and threatens to take him over, it should nonetheless not vest itself in the organs of the body, whether through evil thought or evil speech or evil action, and engaging in this battle is a melcham, is engaging in this battle is an avayda, is work. And the human being who engages in this conflict is called the Eved Elikim. And as the Alter Rebbe explains, Shehu be'emes, avayda va'amal gadil li'ilachim be'tamid. This constant battle with one's evil nature truly entails much effort and toil. V'haynu ha'beinani. And this is the Beinani. It's interesting, this line of the Alter Rebbe. The Tanya, in a sense, is on one hand is very realistic because it describes the real person. It doesn't address a human being that doesn't exist. It doesn't address us in a way that we are. It doesn't address that human being who we are not. It addresses who we are, the human being as he truly is. On the other hand, the Tanya is very demanding and it's quite tough. The Beinoni is quite a tough achievement, a tough goal. So the Alter Rebbe admits here, he says, Shehu be'emes avayda va'amal gadol li'ilachem be'tamid. After everything said and done in Perek Yud Beis and Perek Yud Gimel, how the human being possesses all the methods, all the instruments, all the vehicles, all the weapons required to create that equilibrium in his life, and to master the negativity and the egotistical dimension which is in him, after everything said and done, the Alter Rebbe says, Shehu be'emes avayda va'amal gadol. It's tough work. The Beinoni who possesses two souls, a divine soul but also an animal egotistical soul, and is constantly in the midst of that conflict and that battle between the two consciousnesses, has to really work and toil in a very powerful and profound manner to achieve and to retain that state of mind and that state of heart, which shall be that mental fortress that won't allow his negative impulses to come to fruition in his life, and his whole life will be an exercise of harmony with HaKadosh Baruch. So therefore, the Beinoni is defined as the Eved Elokim, a man who is currently and constantly involved in Avodah, in service of Hashem and work, as a result of the Yetzer Hara, which is consciously active in his psyche, character, and body. Avol HaTzadik, the Tzadik, on the other hand, Nikra Eved Hashem B'Shem HaToyer, is designated a servant of Hashem as a title. K'moy Shem Chachamei Melech. The term servant, Eved, is similar to the title sage or king, Shekvar Naaseh Chachamei Melech. It's bestowed on one who has already become a sage or a king. He is not engaged in the process to become a Chacham or a Melech. We define the state in which he is already in. Kach zeh, the same is true concerning the tzaddik, this human being that kvar avad v'gamar legamri, avaydus ha-melchamei mara, that he has already effected and completely accomplished his service of avaydah, his avaydus ha-melchamei, his service of waging war with the evil in him, to the extent that ki vayigarsheyu vayelichlo, he has banished it, and it is gone from him, v'libay chalol b'kirboy, leaving the seat of his evil nature in his heart void within him. So a tzaddik has no yetzahara. Correct. You look shocked. You know many tzaddikim that do have yetzaharas. That's the problem. You know people that claim to be tzaddikim and they still have yetzaharas. Okay, that I cannot refute. So v'libay chalal b'kirbay. So this part of it, in this part, so to speak, of him is devoid, is hollow. And therefore, having completed this task, the tzaddik has earned the title of Eved Hashem. Now, so Alter Rebbe is saying that the difference between the Beinoni and the tzaddik is, the Beinoni is the Eved Elokim, and the Tzaddik is the Eved Hashem. What is the difference? Eved is a Shem HaTayr. Shem HaTayr means a name, a title, which is describing a certain human being, or a creature, or phenomenon, or event, and so on and so forth. Huh?
Adjective.
An adjective, which is describing a noun. It's not a noun. Shem HaEtzem is a noun. Shem HaTayr is the adjective, but which is describing what nature, what is the nature of this noun? So you'll say a melech, a king. You, this person is a king. This person is a chacham. This person is an eved. What type of human being is he? He's an eved. He is a servant. The Beinoni cannot be defined as an eved. A tzaddik, we can define him as an eved Hashem. Why? Because he is a person who is absolutely committed, subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The totality of his experience and his human condition is totally dedicated and committed internally and externally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we describe him as an Eved. He is a person who has achieved a state where he is an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beinoni cannot be described as an Eved Hashem. Can we say that this person is an Eved? This person contains a very powerful duality. This person's life is dichotomized. On one hand, there is a part of him which seeks to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, there is a part in him which seeks to be an Eved of physicality, of mundaneness. There is a part in the Beinoni where he feels the eye more than he feels the eye of God. Elamai, we can define him as an Eved Elokim. Eved is not an adjective describing a noun. Eved is the term we designate when we are describing an activity. This person is doing something. He is engaged in something. We can't say the Beinoni is an Eved. We could say the Beinoni is perpetually engaging in a battle, in a fight, in a conflict to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Has he achieved the state of Eved? No, he shall never achieve that state. There will always be a part of him which will create another perception, which he has to constantly pierce through, permeate, penetrate, deal with. But we do say about him that he is a fighter. He didn't resign. He is an Eved Elokim. He is constantly engaging in those activities, in those behavioral routines, in that meditation, contemplation, attachment of mind and heart to the reality which brings him close to his true divine self and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the difference between an Eved and an Eved Elokim? You're saying an Eved is also serving now. If he's an Eved, he's serving. And a Beinoni is also serving now. Of course, if he's an Eved, he's always an Eved. Yeah? But Eved describes a condition that has been settled. He is an Eved, period. He accepted that fact. We can now define him as an Eved. The Nefesh HaBahamas of the Beinoni did not accept that fact. There's a part of the Beinoni that every day says, no, you're not an Eved. You don't have to be an Eved. You don't want to be an Eved. For example, by way of illustration, perhaps an example of this would be the difference between, in Hebrew grammar, would be the difference between a Poyel and an Eved. Or in our contemporary terms, the difference between an employee and a slave. An employee, you can be defined as an employee when you're working for the other person. An Eved is something that defines the human being. He entered that realm where he is now defined as an Eved. Naturally, as a result of that, everything he does is connected to his master in some way or another. And constantly, on a day-to-day basis, he works for his master. Of course, when the Beinoni is engaged in Avodas Hashem, you could call him, from one level, you can call him an Eved Hashem. But the real term of an Eved Hashem, says the Alter Rebbe, can only be relegated to that person who's avad v'gamar legamri avodas hamelchama imhara. This stage of the game he has completed. His nisayon is already a new nisayon. The tzaddik is that individual who has managed and succeeded through much toil and effort to actually nullify the egotistical soul which is in him. He has managed either to eradicate the Nefesh HaBahamas, or even furthermore to transform it, where his animalistic, biological, natural, vital, egotistical soul has become a full ally and partner with the divine soul, identifying with its ambitions, aspirations, and visions. The Beinoni, who is called the ordinary man, we call the ordinary man, because the tzaddik is not the ordinary man. The Alter Rebbe said in Perek Yedalet, the tzaddik experiences in this world what the average Jew experiences in Eilam Haba. This is a man, after he's a tzaddik, we could say he's a man from Eilam Haba, walking the face of this earth. The tzaddik is an Eilam Haba experience. It's a utopian experience. It's almost a messianic experience while living in a physical body on the physical earth, which is characterized by the term klipa, concealment, shell, a husk. The Beinoni is the ordinary man. Hence another difference, interestingly, the Beinoni is defined as an Eved Elokim. The Tzaddik is defined how? Eved what? What does he say? HaTzaddik Nikra, Eved Hashem. Why not Eved Elokim? And why not the Beinoni Eved Hashem? Because the difference between the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Elokim, Elokim and Hashem, are very much connected with the difference between the Tzaddik and the Beinoni. Elokim means the master. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Elikim, the etymology of Elikim comes from the word Kael, which means strength. Koyach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the strength of the universe and is the master which created and controlled the universe. On a deeper level, the numerology of the word Elikim, Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, is number 86, Pei Vav. And 86 is the same number like the word Hateva, which means the nature. Why? Because Elikim describes that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which creates nature, which sustains nature, and which relates to nature. Havaya Hashem is the name Yutke Vavke, which defines, as explained in Svarim, the concept of Haya Haive V'yiyah Ke'echot. Yutke Vavke contains all three words. Haya he was, Haive he is, Yiyah he will be, all in one word. Defining the fact that by Hashem, past, present and future are intertwined into one, because this relates to that aspect of Hashem which transcends nature. Elikim is that aspect of Hashem which creates nature, manifests itself within nature, relates and sustains nature. Akvaya Yudke Vavke defines that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which totally transcends nature and all of its elements. And this is the difference between the Tzaddik and the Beinoni. The Beinoni is dealing with an Elikim reality and the Tzaddik with an Havaya reality. The Beinoni is dealing with a world in which there is a shell, in which there is a husk, in which Teva dominates in a very serious way. It doesn't prevail, but it threatens to prevail. The Beinoni is dealing with a consciousness where godliness and spirituality is not vivid, conspicuous, all-pervading, singular. No, there is a wall that's covering it, that's obscuring it. The ego is a very powerful brick wall that he does not rid himself from. The Beinoni finds God within Teva. The Beinoni finds spirituality within a personality, within a consciousness that is dichotomized between spirituality and the antithesis of spirituality. And as the Alter Rebbe explained at the conclusion of chapter 13, that the Beinoni's truth relative to the Tzaddik is untrue, because the truth is being compromised. The Beinoni never gets that experience of Ein Neid Melvade, there is him and there is none else beside him, in an equivocal, absolute and consistent manner. Even if he experiences by davening, even if he experiences this notion by davening or by Yom Kippur, you can be guaranteed by the normal average Beinoni that tomorrow he will experience a notion which tells him that it's not Ein Neid Melvade. There is him and there is something else also beside him. And that's not good. There is him and there is something else beside him. Because it is not him. The Tzaddik is an Eved Hashem. The Tzaddik is an Eved Hashem. He does not have that wall. The curtain has been opened. The stage is revealed. From his own perspective, in his own experience, there is no Ra, there is no ego. His godly soul encompasses, dominates. The word is not dominates, because the Nefesh HaBehemah doesn't exist. Encompasses, permeates, penetrates, pervades his entire persona. So he's an Eved Hashem. He, so to speak, tastes. He has a taste from the element of Havaya, from the Havaya perspective. The Beinoni never gets the Havaya perspective. That's the tragedy of the Beinoni. It's also the beauty of the Beinoni. Beinoni yesh gamkin shtei madregas. This is the difference between the Tzaddik and the Eved Elikim. Where the tzaddik is that human being who eradicated the evil from within himself, the Beinoni is that human being who has that multiplicity within him between the toiv and the ra, both essential elements in his psychological chemistry. But in a Beinoni itself, the Alter Rebbe continues, we also have two madregas, we also have two levels, eved elikim v'ashaloy avadai. Him who serves Hashem and him who serves him not. So the question is, was haste, if he's not an Eved Elikim, if he doesn't serve Hashem, how can you define him as a Beinoni? A Beinoni is a Jew who, despite the fact that he has a Nefesh HaBahamas, never allows the Nefesh HaBahamas to dominate his life. He never allows his behavioral life, his thought, speech, and action, become enslaved and subservient to the external, egotistical, husky perception of his life. So how can you call him a loya vaday if he already does one avera? In other words, the Nefesh HaBahamas managed to creep in to his life. It's not a bein anymore if he doesn't do tshuva and returns back to that state. So how do you say he's loyavadi? He doesn't serve Hashem, but he's a beinani. V'afal pikein, despite the fact that he's loyavadi, ein a rasha, he cannot be deemed a rasha. Why? Ki loy avar miyam of shuma veir kala. For never in his life has he committed even a minor transgression in the realm of negative commandments. V'gam, kiyam kala mitzvah shevshalei l'kaimah. He has also fulfilled all the positive commandments which he was able to fulfill, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, including the precept of Torah study, which is equal to all other mitzvahs combined. So both in the negative realm of the Jew, he has never committed a transgression. And both in the positive sense, he is always engaged in all the positive mitzvahs that the Jew has to and can do, including Talmud Torah. For like Pasuk Pumei Megirsa, to the extent that his mouth never ceased from Torah study, whenever he had a free moment, which according to Shulchan Aruch, he was obliged to study Torah, his mouth did not cease from Torah study. And this Jew is defined as what? As Lo Yavadai. He's not serving God. Leiposik Pumei Megirsa, we all know it's not so easy to fulfill this mitzvah of Leiposik Pumei Megirsa. Other things are easier. There's an Aveira, there's a transgression of the Torah, Leizach HaChayshin Me'al HaEfid. Two garments of the Kohen Gadol were the ephod was the apron, and the chayshin, the breastplate. And the din is that the chayshin is not allowed to be removed from the apron. The breastplate is not allowed to be removed from the apron. They have to be attached through strings and rings, and it's not allowed to be removed. I don't think anyone around this table has ever been tempted to remove the chayshin from the ephod. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think most of us were ever tempted to engage in that aveda. Yeah. So the fact that you never did that aveira makes you an Eved Elokim. You're serving Hashem. You're serving Hashem because you didn't do that aveira. You were never tempted to do that aveira. Your animalistic soul is not tempted to do it. But over here, the Alter Rebbe is talking about a Jew who's a Beinoni. A Beinoni is not only someone who doesn't remove the breastplate from the apron. A Beinoni is someone who his whole life is consistent with the blueprint of Hashem, which is the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. Both negative, in the negative issues and in the positive issues. What he does not and what he does engage in positively. Including Talmud Torah, which is Keneged Kulam. So you can't say that this person, in everything he's fine, but Talmud Torah over there, he's not a Beinoni anymore. It's a real thing. But he's not a Rasha. He's a Beinoni. If he's not like Pasek Pumei Megirsa, he's not a Beinoni anymore. He's a Rasha. He rebelled in this issue. His ego took over. The ego took over. The animal took over. Not the godly soul. So this is a person who, like Pasek Pumei Megirsa, and therefore he's a Beinoni. But he's called Loya Vada. He's not serving him. Who is he serving, for heaven's sake? You, me. Ella, yet he is still described as a person which lay avadai she'enei oisa shumul chamim hayetzer. Because one reason, you can't call him an Eivet. Eivet means a fighter, and he's not a fighter. He doesn't have to put up a fight. He does not wage a battle against his evil inclination, lenatzchei, to vanquish it. Al yidei eir Hashem hameir al nefesh ha'alikis shebemoyach. Through the aid of the divine light that illuminates the godly soul abiding in the mind, hashalit al halev kenisker leil, which rules over the heart as explained above in chapter 12 and 13. There are those individuals, most individuals, who in order to reach this state of mind, this state of heart, this lifestyle, have to engage in a battle with the Yetzer, with the evil inclination. And this battle consists of difficult toil and work, whose goal is to be victorious over the Yetzer through that divine aid that the Nefesh HaLikis receives from Hashem within the realm of the mind and allows the person to dominate over the heart. And thus, not fall prey to the Yetzer. But this person doesn't engage in any type of Melchama. Why not? Mipnei she'ein yitzrei oimed l'negdei klal levatli miteirasi v'avidasi. For his evil inclination does not oppose him at all in an attempt to deter him from his Torah study and divine service. And therefore, ve'ein etzarech l'lchim imay klal. Thus, he need not wage any war against it. Kigain. For example, someone shehu masmid bilimudai betivay miteldasi. Someone who is by his nature an assiduous student, al yedei tagbeiris hamarashcheira, due to his stolid temperament. You have people who their corporal, psychological, and emotional structure is of such that it gravitates towards melancholiness, towards depression. We call these people a marashchayda, because apparently, scientifically, the difference between the melancholy type of person and the more frivolous and outgoing human being is dependent upon the nature of their bladder, their mara. Where a marashchayda, a black gull, somehow introduces an energy of melancholiness into this human being, a chemical of melancholiness perhaps. And a mara levana, a white gull, introduces an energy of somewhat frivolousness and joy and outgoingness. Such a human being whose temperament is somewhat characterized by melancholiness does not gravitate towards a stormy life, not in holiness and not in unholiness. For this person, it's comfortable to sit in one place and to deal with one thing. And if this person is also an intellectual, and if he's somewhat interested in intellectual issues, especially metaphysical intellectual issues, so the most comfortable way in which he can live his life is through sitting and learning. To sit and learn Torah diligently for him is not something which requires a war, a battle, which forces him to wage a powerful conflict against another personality which exists within him. On the contrary, this is the most easiest and comfortable expression of his individual personality, and he'll do it in every situation in which he finds himself. This person we sometimes call a bookworm. He sits, he does it all his life, and he loves it and he enjoys it. One second. If this person is part of the Jewish structure and part of the religious Jewish structure, so Torah is the thing to go with. So Mela, this is a Yid who sits and learns Torah constantly, not because the divine soul is dominating the egotistical animal soul, but even the Nefesh HaBahamas agrees to it. This is an expression of the Nefesh HaBahamas no less than of the Nefesh HaLikis. You're right, this doesn't make him yet a Beinoni. One second. V'chein ein le melchama mebtaivis nashim. This is also an individual who is perhaps, who is free of conflict with sexual desire, mipnei shu mitzunin b'tivay, due to his frigid nature. You have a human being who is of a warmer temperament, you have a human being who has a frigid nature. And as a result of this temperament, even his animalistic soul doesn't gravitate, at least not with the same energy and zealousness, towards certain issues that other people are totally consumed by, day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. V'chein b'shar tanugi elam haza. Similarly, with other mundane pleasures, humechuser hergish hanah b'tivoy. This person need not exert himself to master a desire for them, because he naturally lacks any feeling for enjoyment. There are people that are filled with a hergish hanah. They love to enjoy themselves. And when they do enjoy themselves, their whole soul and passion is enclosed in that enjoyment. You can't recognize them. There are people who are very reserved and very cold. They don't have that hergish hanah. Even when something good happens, even when something is going good, they don't go crazy about it. They're mechuser that sensual feeling, you may call it. Huh? A cult of fish, yeah. Yeah, no, it's all the same. Whatever you want, Zozayin. Doesn't have to do with holiness. Doesn't have to do with holiness. Their ego is also structured in that way. That animal soul is also structured in that way. That part of them which makes them part and parcel of the zoological species is also not involved in Elam Haza. Not because they get in touch with a deeper element. Not because they have to overpower the husk of life and tap into the divine energy and be Shalat al Halev. They don't have to. Their natural disposition, even of their animal soul, is also of such a nature. V'lachein hence, this human being, Ein tzarich lizbein in kol kach b'gedolos Hashem. He does not need to contemplate so much on the truth of Hashem, on the truth, the greatness of Hashem. L'hoylid mi binasei ruach das v'yiris Hashem b'meich. To consciously create a spirit of knowledge and awe, fear of Hashem in his mind. L'yisham made in order to guard himself shalei lavad al mitzvus leisasa, not to transgress any prohibitive commandment. V'avas Hashem b'libay. He also need not create a conscious love of Hashem in his heart. Which would motivate him to bind himself to him through fulfilling the positive mitzvahs. Vital mutayra keneged kulon, including through Torah study, which equals all the other mitzvahs together. Ella, but for this person, he says, ein tzarich lizbeinen kol kach. If he bechlal wouldn't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he also would still not be able to be a beinoni. Even a person who has a frigid nature, and who tends towards melancholiness, and who lacks a real feeling for enjoyment, that doesn't make you a beinoni yet. For a beinoni, you can't be mevatel Torah one rega, you can't be even on any aveda. Punkt, it doesn't punkt happen that you're a beinoni, usually. Elamai. Elodailoi, this, for this person, for this person is sufficient ba'ava mesuteris asher b'lev klolos Yisrael. The hidden love which is found in the heart of all Jews, a hidden love towards Hashem, is sufficient for him. Shenikru oyav ishmai. All the Jewish people are called in Tehillim Samachtes, the lovers of his name, as shall be explained later in chapters 18, 19, and he discussed this briefly in chapter 14, that essentially a Jew is naturally, essentially a Jew possesses a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the very fact that he's a Jew. A Jew equals an ahava to Hashem, an inherent connection and sense of affection towards Hashem. He is naturally so inclined as a result of that he's a Jew. This doesn't come as a result of effort or work. The very fact that he's a Jew. A person might tap into this, access it. It might become, from a hidden love, a very powerful, passionate, burning love. It might remain mesoteris. So this human being, where Torah and mitzvahs naturally suit his nature and character, doesn't have to create that deep awareness and passion towards godliness that another character would have to create. For him to be a beinoni, for him to live a life which is consistent with Torah and mitzvahs, that natural Jewishness that characterizes the Jew suffices. He's a Jew. He grew up in a Jewish culture, a Jewish environment. He has that essential sense of being a Yid. And as a result of that, he lives a life which can even be similar to the life of the Beinoni. And we can call him a Beinoni. V'lachein, therefore, einei nikra eivet klal. He is not considered someone who serves Hashem. Eivet klal. You can't deem him as an eivet elokim. He does, he's called a Beinoni. One second. Ki av uzu amesoteres, for this latent love, ein apul lasev avedase klal, is not his making or achievement. Elohi Yerusha seinu mavaseinu l'klal Yisrael. Rather, it's our inheritance, bequeathed by our patriarchs. It was granted, it was inherited by our patriarchs to the entire Jewish nation, the commercial custom of the common, as will be explained further in chapters 18, 19, and 44, about this Ava coming to us as a Yerusha, as an inheritance granted to us like a present, like a Yerusha from our parents. So this love he did not create. Viter, did he have to put up a fight? He didn't have to put up a fight, really. So therefore, he's not called an Evidelik. And this is the difference between the Eved Elokim and the Lo Yavode. Both of them are defined as the Beinoni. Why the Beinoni? Because they are human beings whose thought, speech, and action is absolutely and unequivocally consistent on a day-to-day basis with the blueprint, with the roadmap, with the instructions of the Creator of the universe, which is consistent with their own Nefesh Elokim, with their own divine soul. But there is one major difference. The former human being, the Eved Elokim, has to put up a fight. He is engaged in a perpetual battle and conflict. Therefore, we call him an Eved Elokim. He's involved in an Aveda, in work, in toil, in effort. The Nefesh HaBahamas is a barrier, is always creating an opposition. And he has to employ those methods discussed in the earlier chapters to triumph over that egotistical nature. First and foremost, meditation and contemplation. Following that, a deep awareness of what is true, what is untrue, what constitutes the truth of the universe, what constitutes the truth of life, what constitutes his own truth and his own true good, his nefesh elokis. Following that awareness comes this third stage, which is shalat al halev. Once you have that awareness, you have to bring in that awareness into the battlefield, into the ring, where the heart, the egotistical temperament, is tempted towards a specific set of behaviors or towards a specific object or phenomena which is unhealthy, and you are overwhelmed by that passion which threatens to overcome you. You have to introduce that deep awareness of the mayach into the battlefield and defeat the lev, not allow it to come to fruition. And in order for the Beinoni to do that, there has to be that meditation and that awareness. And by davening, there has to be an ahava, a conscious love, a burning desire, an emotional, subjective desire towards godliness, which allows him also the whole day at least to retain that equilibrium where the heart will not allow, where the mind will not allow the heart to go haywire. This human being has to put up a fight. And therefore, he's called Eved Elokim.
I ask him. I don't know the mashal entirely. His chafira of this, these two different things. One of them, it would seem that no, there's something that's happening, so you just move it away. But the second one seems to be this is a keli that can bring one to an Eved Elokim. I mean, it's not just enough. Just to say, okay, listen, this person is a sad person, so therefore he's going to shtip. Let's say, but
you're asking a good question. If someone's natural disposition agrees with Torah mitzvahs, so he can never become an Eved Elokim.
But if he's going to be using, let's say this.
So this Dr. Rebbe will explain in a moment, huh?
Sure.
If you're a masmid, so you can never become an Eved Elokim.
Sure. There could be external factors. The only milchama is with your own
Yitzhak. Okay, you're saying other people's it. Oh, you mean when you're trying to make other people?
You could be living in Russia. They could try to force you not to.
Okay, yeah.
There are other things there.
Fine. But the Tanya is written for American Jews, yeah. Previously, he was talking about a human being who was a masmid b'limudei b'tivay. Someone who naturally is a masmid b'limudei. As the result of his very nature, he is an assiduous student, due to his temperament, his natural temperament, and therefore naturally he loves to engage in limud ha-Torah, in studying Torah day and night. But the same is true af misha'eni masmid b'limudei b'tivay, regarding also someone who is not inherently studious. But he has accustomed himself to learn Torah diligently. So that this habit has become his second nature, not his first nature. For initially, inherently, he was not a masmid. But as a result of constantly engaging in this lifestyle and in this aspect, it becomes second nature for him. Dai lei ba'ava mesutera zu. For him too, the hidden love of Hashem is now sufficient. Elim kain. Reitze lilmit yeser miregilusay. Unless he wishes to study more than he usually does, more than his habit presently would dictate that he should study. Which means, although initially he was an Eved Elokim, now he's not an Eved anymore. If a rock is on the earth, and it's a heavy, it's a large, heavy rock, to lift it up requires toil and effort. To leave it where it is, standing, does not require any effort. When you raise the rock from the earth and you place it on the roof of your home, the physical location of the rock changed. Its standard changed from the earth to the roof. But now again, that it should remain on the roof doesn't require any effort. Initially, to bring it up to the roof required a lot of work. Once it's on the roof, it's fine. There is no effort needed to continuously have the rock standing in that place. Effort will now come if you want to take the rock a step higher. This person is naturally not a masmit. And therefore, initially, to learn Torah according to Hashem's will, where a Jew has to learn Torah every day, took work. There was a lot of resistance. His nature resisted it. His egotistical consciousness was saying no, was declaring war against that notion.